All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. I'm speaking with Dr. Jennifer C. Sullivan, and we're talking about hypertension. Our focus is women. And Dr. Sullivan, something I'm really curious about, you write about this. With women, hypertension is going on. Of course, the body's responding to that hypertension, which is an enemy to the body. One of the things that you explain is that inflammation begins to take place as the body is trying to help itself recover from this enemy, this affliction. And in the process, it actually contributes to the very problem that it's trying to resolve. Could you explain that to us?
Sure. So we have an immune system. The immune system is supposed to be in place to identify when something goes wrong in the body, clean that up, and respond to maintain normal physiological levels and homeostasis. So about 10 or 12 years ago, there was a really important paper in the field that showed in male mice, keep in mind this is male mice, that didn't have B cells or T cells, which are the primary cells of the adaptive immune response. B cells make antibodies, T cells are your killer cells that kind of clean up anything that you need to have cleaned up. So if male mice didn't have those cells, they failed to have an increase in blood pressure like animals that did have those cells. So it really kind of put T cells in particular as a focus point in understanding blood pressure control. So we hadn't really thought about that. So we know then, we went on and showed that females actually have the same type of response. So we were the first ones to publish that female animal models of hypertension see a decrease in blood pressure if you inhibit the immune system. But we went on to show that there's differences in the types of T cells that you see between males and females, where females tend to have more of regulatory T cells, which are an anti-inflammatory, so they suppress an overall immune response. They've been shown to be antihypertensive. So we've shown that typically females have an upregulation of these cells, which helps limit the overall increase in pressure, and they're important in the ability of the female to maintain lower pressures when compared to males, at least at young ages. So for the study that we've been doing recently, so we started looking at things with a high-fat diet. So we've known since, I think, the 1930s, really, that what we eat is important in maintaining overall cardiovascular health. In the late 70s, I think, was the first study that came out and said increases in saturated fats in particular are important in promoting increases in blood pressure and hypertension. And we also know that women actually tend to be more sensitive to high-fat diet-induced increases in blood pressure, particularly with obesity. Even in the absence of obesity, though, increases in high-fat increase blood pressure. But no one knows why. So why are females in particular going to be sensitive to that? And we're wondering if it's related to the immune system. So what we're studying now is the ability of T cells to help respond to high-fat. The T cell is important in actually activating your adipocytes, and adipose tissue or fat is made up of all these adipocytes. If you don't have T cells, you don't get expansion and activation of those adipocytes, which would then lower your overall blood pressure. So we're studying that now with a mind. So why with high fat are we losing that T regulatory cell component that was typically shown to be protective? So our question is, do females have this increased susceptibility to high fat because of some dysfunction in their immune response? So is high fat preferentially preventing females from upregulating these cells, and could that be an important component in mediating the hypertension that we see in females?
Interesting. And so when you look at this happening in females, is it going to be pretty much the same regardless of age? Will it be working the same way in a 10-year-old as it would in a 30-year-old?
That is a great question, one that I'm not prepared to answer. My guess would be no. So there's lots of things that happen over the lifespan of obviously of a woman. So you go through puberty where you have changes in hormones and things like that. Then you have, you know, midlife, you have childbearing years, pregnancy in of itself has lots of influences on the immune system. And then you go through perimenopause and menopause, which is associated with not only aging, and aging in and of itself has a number of physiological consequences, but again, you're changing that hormonal milieu. And we know that female sex hormones, particularly estrogens, have been suggested to be cardioprotective. We have shown that estrogens help promote T regulatory cell formation and development. So while we haven't looked at aging in particular yet, or maturation, my guess would be yes, it is going to change. And typically you tend to see in an older population a more male-type phenotype because we're losing a lot of that hormonal component, although I don't like to ever just attribute everything to sex hormones. You know, mm-hmm. men and women are more than just estrogen and testosterone. Yes. You know, the chromosomal complement is different. Women are XX, men are XY. And I think we've largely ignored potential chromosomal complement effects mm-hmm. on physiology, but I don't think that we can forever just assume it's going to be hormone only.
Mm-hmm. And as you bring into the discussion the factor of the chromosomes, mm-hmm. do you find that heredity is coming into play for the way that the women are responding to the saturated fats, for example?
Hugely. So, I mean, especially when you're talking about cardiovascular disease, there's a large component that's genetic, that is family history. If you have parents that are hypertensive, you are more likely to be hypertensive. Your offspring are more likely to be hypertensive. And we see the same things with things like obesity. So if we're talking about high fat, that's going to increase the susceptibility to obesity, and that's also probably got a very strong genetic component to it as well.
Okay. So one of the things that you made clear to us, the not-so-good news is we don't know yet what the actual cause is. The good news is we can treat the symptoms and are doing that. There's some trial and error involved in that, but a lot of success.
A lot of success.
That said, there are signs when there are things that people can do. You know, they have it in their own power mm-hmm. to take some steps to help themselves as well. Not saying don't go to the doctor, but there are things that we need to be doing for ourselves as well. Whether we're talking about males and females, the focus is females in particular. Mm-hmm. What steps can we take to help ourselves?
Obviously, the number one thing is having a healthy lifestyle. You know, getting out, getting exercise. As you mentioned, it's an absolutely beautiful day today. Take
yes.
advantage of that. Take a walk around your neighborhood. Enjoy the fact that it's lovely outside. Saturated fats. It's been suggested by the American Heart Association that if we decrease saturated fats in our diets in and then replace them with polyunsaturated fats, we could see a 30% reduction in cardiovascular disease. So, I mean, simply thinking about what it is you're eating. I mean, I know it's sometimes quick and easy to grab something that's pre-made. If you have the option to have more fresh fruits and fresh vegetables and have, you know, more olive oil and less fried foods in what you're cooking and considering how everything that you take into your body has the potential to impact your overall health in general, I think is an important consideration, both for you and for your family. So if you're the one cooking in your house, which yeah. I tend to be the one cooking in my house, you know, as I'm preparing for my kids, what do I want them to have? How can I best set up lifestyle choices for them now mm-hmm. that'll make it easier for them to follow it going forward?
I love that. Anything else that you want us to be aware of just before we close out?
Just the idea that I'm not the only one doing this. There's a lot of interest now in better understanding women's health and in increasing our understanding of female physiology, and it's a lot of fun.
Well, I tell you what, I really appreciate you for having joined me today to talk about this. It's been a great discussion, and ladies and gentlemen, definitely want you to take advantage of the information that Dr. Sullivan shared with you. Do what you can. Move your bodies. Think about polyunsaturated and monounsaturated versus saturated fat. If you don't remember polyunsaturated and monounsaturated, just remember unsaturated. That's the way you want to go. So move your bodies, eat well, live well. Be back in just a few.